Praise God. I'm going to connect this evening with some thoughts that I shared on Sunday and on the subject of faith. And we're going to, I trust, and I believe like Sunday, that we're going to be able to share some things that will help us. And I believe that it helps me, I'll tell you that. If just one person, it helps me just to keep feeding on the Word of God, and I know it does you also. But the Word of God is precious, and it has the power within it to cause us to be a success in life. It has everything that we need in it. And I believe that as we continue to feed upon it, it'll change our thinking, it'll change our believing, and ultimately change our speaking and our expectations. And we'll see a little bit of that tonight. We're going to expand upon some thoughts that we shared on Sunday. I may fold a few of those back in. But we've been speaking on this topic of the voice of faith, and we've shared a number of things. And you can go back and partake of that. And one of the things that we've kind of landed on here on Sunday was maintaining your expectation. You know, when we look at Hebrews and the book of Hebrews, it says in Hebrews 11:6 that without faith, it is impossible to please him, for he that cometh to God must do what? Believe that he is, and he is what? A rewarder of those that diligently seek him. So we know that faith is necessary, and faith is necessary to please God. And one of the things that we see from the scripture in 2 Corinthians 4:13 that the Apostle Paul, writing to the church of Corinth, he says that in the King James, he said, "We having the same spirit of faith." So he's saying us-ins. He said, "We," meaning me and you, having the same spirit of faith, he's writing to the Corinthian church, "according as it is written, I believed, and therefore have I spoken. We also believe, and therefore speak." So faith has to be spoken. Faith is something that has to be voiced. It's not just something you think, well, I sure hope this happens, or I believe this is going to happen, but you don't say anything. It has to be voiced. Why is that? God set it up that way. He designed it that way. So 2 Corinthians 4:13, I want to read it in the Passion Translation. It says, "We have the same spirit of faith that is described in the scriptures." Now, he's referencing what is in the Psalms. And he says, when it says, "First I believed, then I spoke in faith." So faith has to be spoken. And then it goes on and says, "So we also first believe and then speak in faith." And so what are we saying? That your expectations, your hope has to be spoken. Glory to God. So there has to be a continual affirmation of what we expect. And so let's take a look. We jumped in here Sunday. We're going to look at Hebrews 11:1, just so that those that may be watching and keep feeding upon this. Hebrews 11:1 in the King James, it says, "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for." And that word hoped is expectation. That Greek word is actually means confidence, or what is it that you expect? And it said the evidence of things not seen. And then this is the authentic translation. It says, now faith forms a solid ground for our expectations. What forms the solid ground for our expectations? Faith does. And then it goes on, says, the proof, what's the proof of unseen realities? Faith is. So I speak that which I expect. And so my faith forms the solid ground of what I expect. Well, what is faith? Faith is as we say, faith begins where the will of God is known. I can't have faith in God unless I know what his will is. And so we know from Mark 11:22, it talks about have faith in God. And so what do? I look into the Word of God to find out what his will is, and then I can have faith, and that faith forms the support or solid ground for what I can expect from God. So I can expect certain things based on my redemption, based on the blood of God, the shed blood of Jesus. I can expect certain things in my covenant. Just like you have faith in a contract that you may have, whatever type of instrument that is, or whatever type of contract that is, you can have faith based on the contract. And what do? You voice your expectation based on your confidence in that contract that was signed. Well, it's no different with God, but how much greater do we have where the blood of Jesus has been shed for that contract? It says we have a better contract, a better covenant that's been sealed in the blood of Jesus. So I can have faith that forms the confidence, the solid ground of what I can expect. And so that's what we were touching on Sunday. And we used as an example, you know, that the heart of man is the ground. And so this ground, and we were using an example that just like a heating and air conditioning unit was designed to produce heat and cold. It's designed to produce something, but it'll just sit there and not produce unless there's a demand placed upon it. That unit was designed to do only a couple of things. I mean, it was designed to either produce heat or cold. And it won't produce, it won't wash your dishes, it won't cook your food, it only designed to do one thing, but it'll sit there and do nothing, even though it's hooked up, ready to go, it's ready to produce. But unless you place a demand upon that device, that unit, it'll just sit there and do nothing. And so what places the demand? The thermostat. Well, we shared that the thermostat is a goal setter. You set the demand. You set the goal of what you want from that unit. Well, we're doing the same thing on the spiritual side. I set the demand upon my spirit man. And what do? I'm placing the goal. The Word of God is the goal setter. And so I'm placing that seed, the seed is the goal setter, I'm placing that in my spirit, I'm placing a demand upon it. So I've planted what? The seed of God's word in my spirit, but it must be spoken. And what do we mean by that? That It says, he that does what we were just were sharing in 2 Corinthians 4:13. I believed, and therefore, first I believed, then I spoke. So that which you believe, you must speak. And in the speaking, you're releasing your faith. You're expressing, you're speaking your faith. And this is, we're going to just touch on some examples this evening. I know we used a natural example on Sunday. We were talking about, you know, a heating and air conditioning system and a thermostat on a wall. And we said, well, you place a demand on that heating and air conditioning unit by setting the thermostat. But if I never set it, then it just sits there. And if I never set or plant the seed in my spirit, then nothing is accomplished. And so it's no different if you want to know what the goal of a farmer is, look at what seed they've planted. In other words, if you want to see a farmer, his goal setter or is the seed that he planted. And so he prepares, he places a demand and plants that seed in the soil. And the soil never decides what it wants to produce. It will only produce based on the seed that's planted in it. So when we look at our spirit man, it doesn't decide what it wants to produce. It doesn't decide, well, you know, I think you need this because you're just going through problems in life and you need help. Well, you need to decide. You are the one that sets the goal. You are the one that determines what needs to be changed. So if you don't like, you know, it's like a farmer. If he doesn't like the harvest he's getting, what does he do? He possibly changes the seed. And so it's the same thing. If we don't like the harvest that we're getting in our life, then we have to do what? Change the seed. Change our words that are spoken. Change the seed that we're planting in our soul. And this is in our spirit. And this is why it's so important when we look at the word expectation. Based on the seed that you keep planting in your spirit, you can end up producing a good crop or a bad crop in your life. And this is so important because we've shared this in so many other different ways that it's important to watch what you listen to and what you feed upon and what you listen to and what you read, because all of it is based on those things are seed, that they're containers of someone's thoughts and intents. And so when you begin to feed those, are they filled with truth? Are they filled with fear? Are they filled with doubt and unbelief? What are they filled with? And so when you listen to the, you know, just turn the news on. And I remember years ago, there was somebody that was sharing this. It might have been something I read, but this person shared a comment of a producer of a major news organization, which I won't name, but this producer said to this person, fear sells. And so they knew, what did they knew? They knew if they put enough content that was fear-based, it caused clicks and likes and whatever. And so we need to watch filter what we watch and listen. Because if you keep listening to something long enough, it plants seed into your heart. By the listening, faith in the same way. Faith comes by hearing, and faith in God's word causes revelation, but also it changes our soul and our thinking, the word of God does, to the truth of God's word. But also the world's ways can influence us if we're not conscious and not aware of it, that we can begin to form opinions that are against God's word and the truth of God's word. So the seed is important, and I'm saying that again just in context, that if you don't like what you're experiencing in life, look at the seed that you're planting in your heart, because that can be the basis for what you expect. If you're not expecting anything, well, maybe you need to plant some seed. And it takes time. You know, years ago, when Charles Capps was alive, he shared some things I was rereading again today. And he shared something again, and he talked about how he would catch or he would contract poison ivy when he would go into the woods and hunt. He liked to hunt. But he said when he began to hear the word of God and the truth from the word of God began to register on his heart, he began to confess the word of God that he was redeemed from the curse of the law, Galatians 3:13. Christ hath redeemed me from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree. And so he began to profess that. And he said, well, he'd like to say, you know, he said, I would still go into the woods and, you know, still get poison ivy. And he said, people would say, well, I thought you were healed. He said, I am healed. And he said, I would still put the calamine lotion on me. And he said, I would still confess the word. And I would go into the woods and get, you know, poison ivy again. And he said, I would still profess the word that Christ hath redeemed me from the curse of the law. And he said, people would say to him, well, I thought you were healed. He said, I am healed in the name of Jesus because he redeemed me from the curse of the law. And he said, it was a process of what? Planting the seed in my spirit, professing it, and he said, it took some time. And he said, just like natural things, you don't plant a seed and then march out there with your equipment and say, where's the harvest? Well, that's silly. It takes time in the natural. There's a process, a season, a growing season. And just like in the natural, there's a season or a process where the seed gets planted into the soil of my spirit, into my heart, and the meditating and confessing of that word, the continual confessing of it, is the watering of the word, and then in due season, you will reap if you don't faint. So that means there's going to be a harvest. And Charles Capps said, it took about a year for a harvest of healing to come. But he said, I didn't just get discouraged. He said, I was confident of the word and my expectation. And so he said, I was confident that the word would come to pass. And I kept confessing the word. And he said, it took about a year. And he said, I could go into the woods. And he said, I could grab the poison ivy vine and strip it. And it never affected my skin anymore. Well, what happened? He didn't get discouraged. He didn't doubt the seed of God's word. He didn't start to confess with his mouth contrary to what he originally expected. That's Mark 11:23. He said with his mouth what he believed, and he didn't doubt not. He didn't doubt. And it came to pass. And so those are the things that we were sharing on Sunday, that we have got to plant the seed. And the seed is planted by what? By speaking it, by first hearing it, speaking it, and then continually watering it and speaking. You know, you see this a lot of times people get excited about the seed time and harvest principle. They get excited about this even in whatever area, because this principle works, whether it's in healing, whether it's in sowing for finances, whether it's for believing for something in your life that's promised in the Word of God. And there's a process. And so you need to have patience and stand steady until you see it. Until you see the harvest, and not just give in and see, well, this is not working. Well, if you are faith, in other words, what we were sharing on Sunday, now faith is the substance. Faith gives substance to something hoped for or expected. Well, faith can't give something substance to something you don't expect. You know, how many of us have been to school? Something at times nothing is nothing. So you can have something of substance that gives substance to nothing, and you give nothing. So there has to be faith involved, but then there has to be an expectation. And because faith has come by what? Reading the Word of God, feeding on the Word of God, and I believe and faith is there, then I do what? I expect something. And what is the next thing? I voice my expectation. So, sometimes, let's take a quick look here. In Luke chapter 17, verse 6, and the Lord is speaking something here. He said, the Lord said, if you have faith, even as small as a mustard seed, you could say to this mulberry tree, may you be uprooted and be planted in the sea, and it would obey you. So this said here that faith has to be what? Spoken. If you had faith, you would say. So you have to say what you expect. And our hearts, like the soil, will produce what you plant in it. Our heart, like we were saying before, does not decide the harvest. Our heart will do what? Is the soil that the seed is planted in. The seed is what? The goal setter. The seed determines the harvest. So I have to plant seeds that determine the harvest. The substance is in the seed itself. Meaning, if I want something that produces a harvest of healing, then I need to be meditating upon Scripture and planting seeds of the Word of God of healing in my spirit. Same with prosperity. I need to be planting seeds that will produce that type of harvest. Where? In my spirit. Proverbs 18. And we said that the soil does not decide the seed, whether the seed you planted is good or bad. You know, if I go to plant some bad seed in my spirit based on something I'm reading or listening to, if it gets planted, my spirit man doesn't reject it. It accepts it. It will produce the demand that it's planted in there. In other words, that seed is a goal setter. It places a demand on the spirit to produce it. Proverbs 18:21. It says, death and life are in the power of the tongue, and they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. And some people may think, well, you know, a born-again person, or the heart of us of a born-again person, will not produce anything bad. But here we're reading right here that death and life is in the power of the tongue, and they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. So it is possible to plant some bad seed in the spirit of a born-again Christian, and it will produce. And you need to be, that's why I said, you need to be conscious of that. Here's another scripture. James 1:26. It says, if any man among you seem to be religious and does what? Bridleth not his tongue, but deceiveth his own heart, this man's religion is in vain. So the tongue can deceive the heart. In other words, you could speak something into your heart by speaking it, and it could deceive your heart. So your heart doesn't decide. And if you keep speaking something negative, it will produce negative. Even though you may believe God is a good God, and God, he knows he wants me to be prosperous. He knows he wants me to be healed. But you turn around out of frustration and you speak something that's negative, and you do that long enough, it will produce. And that's why we need to just be conscious of the fact that our tongue and our will speak things and speak words that get planted into our heart. Let's look at another account here in Mark chapter 5. This is the woman with the issue of blood, the Amplified Classic. And starting in verse 25, it says, there was a woman who had a flow of blood for 12 years and who had endured much suffering under the hands of many physicians and had spent all that she had and was no better, but instead grew worse. She had heard the reports concerning Jesus. So she heard something. She heard the reports of how he healed all that came to him. And she came up behind him in the throng and touched his garment. So when she heard these reports, it produced what? Faith in her. It produced a confidence in her. And what did she do? She started to come to receive. And look what verse 28 says. For she kept saying, if I only touch his garments, I shall be restored to health. So this is her faith speaking. This is her expectation. She's expecting, and she's voicing it, if I just touch his garments, I shall be restored to health. In verse 29, and immediately her flow of blood was dried up at the source, and suddenly she felt in her body that she was healed of her distressing ailment. And Jesus, recognizing in himself that the power proceeding from him had gone forth, turned around immediately in the crowd and said, who touched my clothes? Verse 31, and the disciples kept saying to him, you see the crowd pressing hard around you from all sides, and you ask, who touched me? Still, he kept looking around to see her who had done it. But the woman, knowing what had been done for her, though alarmed and frightened and trembling, fell down before him and told him the whole truth. And he said to her, daughter, your faith, your trust and confidence in me, springing from faith in God, has restored your health. Go in peace, go into peace and be continually healed and freed from your distressing bodily disease. Now you notice Jesus said, what, daughter, thy faith and confidence in me, your confidence springing from faith in God, has restored your health. He didn't say to her, it was my power that healed you. It was actually both. It was his power that healed her, but it was her faith that was involved also. But he never said or highlighted, daughter, it was my faith that healed you. He said, no, or my power that healed you. He said, it was your faith that healed you. Because the power was there present to heal. He was being thronged about by everybody and pressed in from every side. People were touching him. That's what the disciples said. They said, you're pressed around hard from all sides. That means people were pressing up against him, touching him. No power was released. That's what I mean when we say that air conditioning and heating unit can sit there. It's ready to go. It'll produce, but there was no demand placed on it. And in this case here, she placed a demand upon the power of God. She heard reports, everybody that came was healed. And so what did she do? She said, what did she say? If I only touch his garment, I'm going to be healed. And it was, it happened. And so her faith was involved. And what did she do? She set her expectation by what? Speaking it, voicing it. And then, of course, if you know, she had an issue of blood for 12 years. She wasn't even supposed to be in public. And if she got caught, I mean, ultimately, she could have been stoned to death. And so here, even in that society, she took her life in her hands by going out in public. So there must have been, I mean, there was faith involved there. And so she kept saying, and it didn't just say she said it once, she kept saying what she believed, what she expected. Now let's look at one other example here, the centurion in Matthew chapter 8. Starting in verse 5, in the New Living Translation. It says, when Jesus returned to Capernaum, a Roman officer came and pleaded with him. Lord, my young servant lies in bed, paralyzed and in terrible pain. Jesus said, I will come and heal him. But the officer said, Lord, I am not worthy to have you come into my home. Just say the word from where you are, and my servant will be healed. Here he's voicing his expectation. I know this because I am under the authority of my superior officers. And I have authority over my soldiers. I only need to say, go and they go, or come and they come. And if I say to my slaves, do this, they do it. When Jesus heard this, he was amazed. Turning to those who were following him, he said, I tell you the truth, I haven't seen faith like this in all of Israel. And I tell you this, that many Gentiles will come from all over the world, from east and west, and sit down with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob at the feast in the kingdom of heaven. But many Israelites, those for whom the kingdom was prepared, will be thrown into outer darkness, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Then Jesus said to the Roman officer, go back home because you believed it has happened. And the young servant was healed from that same hour. Then, of course, in that verse, in verse 13, in the New International Version, it said, "Then Jesus said to the centurion, 'Go, let it be done just as you believed it would.'" See, so it's just saying, you know, he said, "Be it unto you according to your faith." So we need to make sure, what is our faith in? Is our faith in God, or is our faith in something the world is sharing or presenting? And be conscious of that. But for us, it's important that if you want to harvest of something, and it's based on a covenant that we have, a covenant promise of God, then we need to keep feeding until faith comes, and then set your expectation. I'm going to have that. I'm going to do that. And faith is the substance, or forms the solid ground for my expectation. And so it's important, you know, going forward, I think sometimes, and just being around folks long enough, and just things that, you know, I've done and maybe you have done, that we jump out expecting something to happen, and we give up. We begin to, you know, maybe the time extends to months or years, and we begin to question, well, maybe this isn't going to come to pass. Now, I would say this: if God directed you to, and he revealed something to you, then you hold on to that and keep decreeing that. And if God causes you to, you know, make adjustments, then so be it. But it's up to God to reveal whether or not you are off track or off or not. And you keep speaking the word of God. You keep speaking what your expectation is. You know, a lot of times people will say, "Well, I sure would like to operate in the wisdom of God." Well, one way here is to begin to take Ephesians chapter 1 and start professing verses 17 through 23. When it says, now it talks about God, praying God and asking God for a spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, the eyes of our understanding being enlightened, that we what? May know what is the hope of his calling, and what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. And so if we want to operate in the wisdom of God, then we need to keep speaking the word, keep planting that daily into our hearts, and do what? Wait for that harvest. Don't give up. Keep speaking the promises of God, and keep speaking what you expect. You begin to decree, "I operate in the wisdom of God. The eyes of my understanding are being enlightened, and I am knowing what is the hope of his calling. And I am knowing what is the exceeding greatness of his power to me who believes." And you begin to profess that. Profess what you expect. And to me, this is the word of God. This is what the principles of seed time and harvest are, that your spirit man will produce what you place in it. In other words, the word of God is seed. It's incorruptible, and it will produce what it says it'll produce. And so it has the ability within it to produce what it says. And so for us this evening, let's just close with this. You know, when it in Mark 11:23, in the King James, when faith is present, it causes our expectations, or causes us to speak and voice our expectations. But Mark 11:23, it says, "For verily I say unto you that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt where in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith," this is your expectation speaking here, "shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith." So if you look back, even at the beginning here in Mark 11:22, when it said, Jesus said, "Have faith in God," verses 23 and 24, he begins to expound on what faith is and how it operates. And so we need to voice our expectations and doubt not. Doubt is calling into question the truth of something. So this is why you cannot speak doubt and expect a harvest. You begin to negate it. And so we need to do what? Speak what we expect, and we shall have it if we doubt not. Praise God. And then just let's remind ourselves here of Hebrews 10:23. It says, "Let us hold fast," excuse me. Excuse me. Hebrews 10:23. It says, "Let us hold fast the profession of our faith," what? "Without wavering. For he is faithful that promised." This word profession is actually the word, this particular word is expectation. I'm sorry, profession means confession, but the word profession of our faith, this word faith is the word expectation. So, excuse me. So there needs to be a continual profession or confession of what we expect. And so this is why, and it says, without what? Without wavering. Glory to God. So again, let us not be weary in well-doing, for we shall what? Reap if we don't faint or waver in the professing of our expectations. Praise God. Well, I hope you got a little something, because the more we feed upon this, there's so much going on in life and society and in just things that we're surrounded with, that we need to profess a good profession, that we war a good fight with a good profession. It said these professions are like an armor for us. And so, you know, we need to have ready a good confession, because we're going to, one of the things that I was sharing this morning at prayer is that, or noonday prayer, is that we are seated with Christ in heavenly places. And we've been given authority and dominion over Satan and his realm. And so his realm and his authority has been defeated. And so for the Christian, when we take that authority and we begin to operate in it, Satan does not like that. He does not like us coming into his realm and beginning to take back what he has held. And there becomes a fight. And so that fight of faith that we experience in life is he does not want us to appropriate the blessings of God. He does not want us to appropriate this authority that's been given to us and us operate in it. He does not want us to operate in faith and take back territories that have been held in bondage. And when we go into prayer and we begin to speak the word of faith, it begins to shake the devil's kingdom. And so that's why I say it's important that we learn these principles of an expectation and maintaining or maintain your expectation, because the devil will fight you in various areas of your life to frustrate you so that you will back up and give up things and just say, it's not worth it. Oh, yes, it is. Jesus paid for that. And so we're going to have to sometimes fight for things and fight with our faith, because it is a fight of faith. But we win because we're seated in heavenly places with Christ. But God is operating through his body to achieve his goals and purposes. And so just the same way, how do I achieve those goals? It's having faith in God and doing what? Releasing those expectations and voicing them. And so we need to just take these principles and yes, apply it to your life. But then as you begin to work those principles, you can begin to apply those in other areas where we can begin to take back things that the devil has stolen, not only in our lives, but begin to operate in faith that God would begin to release his power in this earth. How? Through his body. And so I just encourage you to, take these principles to heart and not just use them for your own personal. That's the first start. But then it's beyond that. It's the body of Christ. Amen. Father, we thank you for this word, which is precious to us. And we thank you for it, for showing us and revealing us how to apply it in our own life. And then from there, we begin to be useful for taking back and being, a useful member in the body of Christ to take back territories that the devil has stolen. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, before we leave, we're going to just extend an opportunity for those that are watching to receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior. And if you believe that Jesus is the Christ, he is the Savior of the world, and you believe that he was raised from the dead, but you never confessed that or made it a personal confession, this is your opportunity to do that. And if you do, as the scripture says, that we are to confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in our hearts that God hath raised him from the dead, it says you will be saved. And so let's say this simple prayer if you're watching. Father God, I believe that you sent Jesus here to this earth to die for the sins of mankind and also to defeat the enemy and to bring to naught his power. And so, Father, I believe that Jesus is the Christ. And I also confess him as my Savior. I believe that you raised him from the dead. And your word says that I shall be saved. So I believe that Jesus has come to live in me. I ask him to come in. And I believe that he has washed me with his blood and that I am now saved and redeemed. And so, Father, I thank you for that in Jesus' name. Amen. So if you did that, if you prayed that simple prayer, then we just ask that if you'd like to receive some free information from us, you can either email us at that information on the screen, or you can call us or mail us, whatever your desire, and we'll mail you some free information. Glory to God. We rejoice.